pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexei Avkard, joined by my co-host, Artemis Albosa.
Howdy, howdy.
And our very special guest from Snigwafa, Yonan DeMalum.
How's it going?
Now, if you're listening to Declarations of War, you're most likely interested in colossal clashes of fleets that dominate Eve's PvP and often drive Eve's politics. And if you've ever thought about leading one of those fleets yourself, or you're just curious about why your FC tells you to press 1 at that particular time, check out Yintan's channel for fleet and solo PvP commentary on YouTube. He walks you through the steps of getting into and winning fights. Check it out at youtube.com/yintan with 2 A's and a J.
I'd like to file a complaint about your show notes. You misspelled our guest name, and it made me like look up the wrong person on Zkill, and so I insulted his kill board before recording the show, when I should not have.
Well, when you take a look at my kill board, you'll insult it anyways. I've been feeding aggressively to abyssals lately.
I misspelled it.
Okay, whoever typed it in misspelled it.
I copy-pasted shit, man. Don't be looking at me.
There's an E when there should be an A. In any case, let's start the show and talk to our misspelled guest.
We don't have to focus on that, Artemis, but thanks. I take no responsibility, even though it seems like it was my fault. Like I said, we don't have to focus on that right now, because what we do need to focus on is our guest. Regardless of how his name may or may not be spelled, he is an interesting figure from a very interesting corp. And Yonan, we'd like to get to know you a little better, get to introduce you to our audience. Let's start at the beginning. Why did you start playing Eve? When did you get into it? What was motivating you?
Oh, man. So I started playing back in 2013. I'm assuming there was probably a big article about some big war or something at the time in the press. Convinced me to start playing, tried it, and like most people, took a few times to actually sink in. I found myself to Brave initially, back in the days of being camped into the, I forget the name of their system, their low sec system up north. And, went to Wormholes after that, got evicted by Razor way back in the day. Came back one more time to try it. And didn't really take again, but Brave was kind enough not kick me for like 300 days. Wow. Came back during World War B. I think the Battle of MTAC-O probably hit media again, or at least gaming media. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a try again. Joined Horde, and it actually stuck this time. Give Horde credit where credit's due. They're good at getting new players in and teaching them the ropes and getting them out into fleets to see what's actually fun about the game, which is, at least for me, the PvP aspects of it. Moved over to Waffles after that and been there ever since.
And how did you get turned on to Waffles? Why make the switch?
So back then it was sort of the natural progression. You're in Horde for a bit, then if you wanted to move into flying things like T3s or flying caps or stuff like that, moved on to Waffles. Waffles had just kicked off their, Waffles 2.0, air quoting that, after the 10-year anniversary of, Waffles creation. So that was sort of the natural progression for me.
What is Waffles 2.0?
So Waffles has a pretty long history in Eve. Started out as a feeder corp to Sniggardly and Pandemic Legion. And for the longest time, it limited itself to flying Tech 1 destroyers, bombers, stuff like that, Tech 1 cruisers, no AHACs, no caps, nothing like that. Around the 10-year anniversary, Reza, the CEO of Waffles, decided we'd make the transition to from a feeder corp to being sort of our own entity, still part of PanFam at the time, and bring us into using caps, faction battleships, cruisers, etc. Tech 3 cruisers. back before they sucked.
And what's your relationship with Snig now?
So we joined PL probably about 2 years ago. Wasn't really a great cultural fit for us. We ended up leaving. We actually reset PL about a month ago. A lot of former Snig members are actually coming back to the game as part of the blackout, which I guess we'll talk about here in a bit. And they've been coming to join Waffles since then. So I don't want to say we have a great relationship, but we don't have a terribly bad one. We're set neutral to each other.
Is that true for the rest of Pam Fam as well?
No, we're still blue to Horde and to NC. We'll be as long as Reza and I are alive, at least.
Interesting. So blue to like 2/3 of the big three, but not PL proper. Interesting.
I mean, isn't that the way it always works with PL? And even if you are blue, they'll shoot you anyway?
Yeah. Diplomatic incidents all over the place. But yeah, don't hold any ill will towards them. But yeah, we ended up leaving because it wasn't a great cultural fit for us. I guess that's really all there is to say about it.
So what is the culture of Waffles then?
Waffles is very much about having bettering yourself, right? So always be active, always be on comms, always be in fleet when you're around, when you have time to play. Always be pushing yourself to get better at the game. And sometimes that winds up, you know, you wind up with stupid lost mails and stuff like that, or you wind up doing really dumb things in fleet, or, you know, while you're trying to learn. We'll haze you a little bit, but at the end of the day, the sort of goal of being in Waffles is just to constantly get better, constantly improve, understanding that people will make mistakes. And the other thing is that everyone's supposed to FC. So you can't really complain about being content starved, because in Waffles, if you're not creating your own content, you probably don't belong in Waffles.
I love that. That's a very awesome culture.
I like it. It's kept me around for almost 3 years now, so I actually cannot imagine being anywhere else in EVE.
And what is your official role within the group?
So I'm one of the directors for Waffles. Myself and Reza sort of
specialize your directorship in any particular way, or is it just you and Grath and Reza figuring things out?
So Grath actually just recently joined us with the corp he had been in. Reza and I have been sort of tag teaming. He's the CEO, always will be, as far as I'm concerned. And I take most of the USTZ stuff, and he does the EUTZ and keeps a lot of the diplo. He's been around for ages and has connections with pretty much everybody. So
awesome sauce.
So is, with your spirit of like constantly improving, is Waffles a newbie friendly group, or is it like you got to understand the basics of PvP, but we'll take you from an okay PvPer to an elite PvPer, quote unquote?
I don't know about elite, but the latter is definitely true. We tend to shy away from just taking, you know, brand new players to the game. We have traditionally pushed people to go join Horde or EVE University to sort of learn the basics, learn very basic fleet mechanics and stuff like that. You know, what does F1 do if you have your gun tied to it, etc.? What is fast tackle supposed to do versus, you know, just a mainline Doctrine DPS ship? So we usually push people to go there first. And encourage them to come back if they want to do some of the more small gang to medium gang stuff. I'd say the sweet spot for us for fleets is probably about 50 people. Any more than that, and I think most of us start to get uncomfortable, you know, because it just feels kind of blobby.
Yeah, you can get a lot. Like, 50 is kind of a really nice sweet spot, because you have your fleet core, you have a decent-sized logistics wing, you might have enough pilots to throw in some specialty stuff in there, like spear phishing and that kind of thing, but you're not to the point where those pilots are redundant.
Yeah.
So kind of every loss and every kill really matters and can turn fights. So that's kind of like a fun little
dynamic. Point for us is for people to feel like they're contributing. If you feel like you're just sitting in another 250 man fleet pressing F1, I personally hate that shit. It's why I didn't particularly enjoy PL myself. you know, every pilot's actions during a fleet should matter. And if they don't, then I question why you would want to play Eve, because it's not a particularly, you know, beautiful game or a particularly complicated one at that. And if you're just anchoring up and pressing F1, then I don't know.
I mean, it's very pretty to look at, but unfortunately it's not a screensaver, you know?
Yeah.
If you're pressing buttons, you might as well be for good reasons.
So, like, what do you do with your 50-man fleets? Where does Waffles live?
So, for the longest time, we were low-sec-based. Low-sec is dead. Put a fork in it. Now we have moved, probably about 2 months ago, I think we moved into a wormhole, C2 with a static null-sec. And we just chain roll our nullsec static until we find some good content holes, go out, tackle rorquals, kill supers, carriers, which is fun and enjoyable, but personally I like the fights where we get a response fleet and we get to engage that.
What are your thoughts on Thera as a content hole versus having like a standard wormhole and then you roll chains on? I've always wondered about that, because Thera seems like, if you're trying to get content outside of your hole, Thera seems perfect, because there's just connections everywhere, but no one seems to really do it.
There are a few groups that live out of Thera, if I recall correctly. I want to say Volta did it for a while.
Volta are still doing it. So Volta did it, and then they sort of died. Or not died, they moved to Nullsec and joined Skill Yourself, and then they moved back into it. And I think, like, even Grath's group, Dopamine, Digital Dopamine, I think is what the alliance was called, or something like that. Like, they sort of, I don't want to say fail cascaded, but they had a split, and, like, half of them went over to Volta. And so Volta's back in Thera doing their thing.
Yeah, they had a TZ split, if I recall correctly. And, some internal drama there. Don't know too much about it, but personally, I prefer the nullsec, because I can be anywhere in Eve whenever I want, essentially, right? I can rage roll to get to Tenerifus, and then a few minutes later be in Cloud Ring.
So as I understand it, like, the main difference between Thera and what he has, which is a null static, is that Thera, number one, you can jump clone in and out of it, or you can jump clone and death clone into it. So most people, I say most, the most outspoken wormholers claim that Thera is not a wormhole, because you can get into it with a death clone and with a jump clone, because there are NPC stations. And also, it has static wormholes, but their mass and the fact that it is so active because of the NPC stations means that you can't really rage roll them. So while in any given moment Thera is connected to a lot of different areas, you can't really control where it's connected to. And like, if you're connected out to the middle of some, if you're like, if the one of the null set connections in Thera is connected to ore space out in Outer Ring with no targets there, you can't really do anything about it. People don't really rage roll it. But with the null sec thing, which is what Waffles has, they can just rage roll their hole until they find something with good content. And also there's an intel aspect to it, like, because Sigma Cartel lives in Thera, and so any connection to Thera within like 5 or 10 minutes is instantly going up on Sigma Cartel's website, Eve Scout, so everyone will know if, hey, we've got a Thera connection. Whereas if Waffles rage rolls into the middle of Delve or Esoteria or wherever, until they show up on intel channels because they killed something, nobody knows.
That is a good point. And I guess that's also a pretty good transition into this blackout situation, because I imagine that's changed the dynamics of that behavior quite a bit. Now, we polled our audience. What are your thoughts on blackout so far? 71% think it's awesome. 29% think it is hurting the game. One thing it is not hurting is Snigwaffa's game, because you guys went on a fucking killing spree. And we need to talk about that. So I saw a Reddit post the other day, and sure enough, it was not a shit post. Waffles, in particularly Snigwaffa the Corp, outkilled every other Corp in Eve. Now, Yonan, would you refresh our audience as to how big Snigwaffa is? How many members?
As of today, I think we have a little over 100 total players across all time zones, total.
And let's say Dreaded is like, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
Dreaded, yeah, and Brave, like, and Games and all those guys. Sorry, you're saying?
It looks like about 120 active pilots.
So, a corp of 120 has outkilled corps of several thousand people, multiple corps of several thousand people. That should, statistically speaking, unless those were mining corps, which they are not, they are nullsec military empires, that should be impossible. How is this happening? Can you describe Snigwaffe's experience with Blackout, how it's changed your playstyle, and how you guys are racking up these kills? Or if you don't want to give your trade secrets away, at least tell us what it's been like.
So, I mean, there aren't really many trade secrets. The obvious one is local's gone, and it's gone as a source of intel for a lot of botters, realistically, and a lot of botting tools like Nier and stuff like that. You know, that'll give, you know, ratters, you know, a good warning if somebody just has eyes in the system, 10 jumps out, and they're watching a pipe. Now you have to actually watch the pipe and watch the gate. I'm sure there are some other programs out there now that have gotten around it, but realistically, it's made it much more difficult to, for the victim, we'll put it that way, to determine where or what the risk is to being out doing the thing they're doing. And has enabled us to move around with, you know, hunters, whether it be, you know, cloaky bombers or T3s or recons, you know, get into a position, tackle something, and then, you know, shove the rest of our fleet out of the wormhole to go kill it or kill the response fleet.
Well, surely that would be true of any wormhole corp, and I'm pretty sure you guys aren't the biggest wormhole corp in EVE. What's setting you guys apart? Is it that activity culture you were talking about?
I'd have to say it's probably the activity culture. Waffles has always been a pretty active corp based off of the amount of players we have, and we do activity purges. They're not really strict, to be perfectly honest. It's 60 kills in 60 days. So as long as you're going on a few roams a month, realistically, you'll hit the requisite number. But that's the bare minimum, right? And a lot of guys like spending, and girls, we actually have a few women in corp as well. Well, they just like spending time together on comms and going out and killing stuff and sometimes feeding horribly. But it's, you know, I really think it boils down to the cultural differences between Waffles and a lot of the wormhole corporations that may have pockets of, you know, within them of people who are, you know, super active or turbo active. But, you know, we really push people to be in game and be on comms and be undocked and out doing stuff.
I think it's also worth noting that, like, the number one ship that Waffles uses, according to Zekill, by far is the Kikimora.
God bless the Kikimora.
Still good even after the nerfs?
It's still good. I can't even remember what the nerfs were. I think it was maybe an optimal range or a max range nerf.
Remove the drone bay.
Oh, the drone bay too. Yeah, no, so I mean they're still fantastic. I mean if you let them spool up to max damage, I mean it doesn't take many of them to break through a max tank Rorqual. We've also been flying around Ikatursas as well recently, and that hull is disgusting to watch what it'll do to a super cap if you put 20 spooled up Ikatursas on it. It just dies really quick.
Eventually. I almost wish the Ikatursa traded that range bonus for a spin-up speed bonus.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind mods that could do that, or maybe rigs as a trade-off.
I mean, your what are they called? The low slot damage mods. They increase your cycle time.
Yeah, then again, almost all damage mods do.
But that's the thing. Like, it would do that the same for the Drekovic.
Yep.
So you can put one on a Drekovic and put one on a Ikatursa. You're still talking about percentage-wise the same amount of time. I forget whether it was like 5 or 7 minutes that it takes for an Ikatursa to get more DPS. Excuse me, more damage applied than a Drek. But that's a pretty shockingly high amount, I think. Seven minutes is a long fucking time.
Yeah, but they've got much lower mass. I mean, for a wormhole group, they're great because they have small mass. They're hacks, so they have ADC, so it's great if you're worried about getting alpha'd or fighting, you know, a couple supers where you're worrying about them trying to volley things. And then the low sig obviously makes them a much bigger pain in the ass to try and counter than the Drekovic does.
That's true. Well, since we're talking Ikatursa, I gotta ask. This is theoretically my favorite ship in the game, but is currently priced out of my ability to justify using it, the Nurgle.
That is my absolute favorite ship in this game right now.
But it costs a billion Iskapop.
I know it does.
Wait, really?
I've somehow managed to not feed one yet. There was probably a week period where I think 5 or 6 of us were just flying around Nurgles nonstop, and everyone else has fed there since then, but mine is still alive. Despite going face first into a Hawdred and not realizing that he had webs equipped.
Ooh. Although I think if you're going up against the Hawdred, really, an assault frigate that can do hack level damage is probably the thing you want to be in.
Yeah, they're easily counterable, though, especially by other frigates. Their range is just shit, especially if you're used to flying the Kikimura, which has, you know, the hull bonus to range. Now, you get in a Nurgle and realize that with a Colt loaded, you can hit out to 5 meters. So,
Alec, I have good news.
Hmm?
A Nurgle in Jita only costs 280 mil.
Oh, what, really?
Ooh, really?
Man, don't tell me that.
And there are, like,
that dropped sharply.
10 of them on market. Actually, more like 20.
Well,
that's getting real close. I think if it gets to like 200, I'm in.
It is a super fun little ship. Again, easily counterable just with damps because it already has shit range. But really, really just a fun ship to fly. It's got a great slot layout, great bonuses.
It's like a retribution mixed with a vengeance, and it can remote rep itself.
Exactly.
And does more damage than both those ships combined.
That too.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing with it. If you get on top of somebody, it's over. But you gotta get on top of them first. So scram kite, frigates, and, you know, long webs are your worst nightmare.
Yeah, get some tackly ships. Anyone that can't fly a Nurgle, put them in like a nanoduck wolf or something like that. Just go get in there.
Freaking
you don't need to
shag.
Fit a damage mod. Put this nano on instead. Like 3 of you. Relax. Oh, yeah. If they get a little cheaper, I kind of compared them to Jackdaws, but I'd be willing to pay a little bit more than the Jackdaw because you're getting quite a bit more, I think, out of it. So if it's like 200, 175, I would seriously do like just a Doctrine of Nurgles because they're ridiculous.
It's such a cool looking hull too. I mean, I realize it's the Ikatursa, you know, shorter and fatter, but I don't know. I keep looking at the Singularity Storm skin for him and hoping it'll come out soon because that's the only drawback to it right now is the base hull looks kind of blah.
Well, you compare it to, like, a Retribution's hull. The Retribution doesn't look that cool.
That's true.
People still fly it because it's a freaking amazing ship. So, Nurgle, step up in both departments, I think. Anyway, enough spurking over that. Artemis, do you want to give us an update on Nullsec politics?
Yeah, so, like, the big update that happened today, I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday. In any case, in very recent times, as of the time of this recording, is that some shenanigans happened in HiSec, and as a result, Horde has reset Fraternity. So basically, previously Fraternity and Horde were blue, and Horde would come down to help out Fraternity on various timers and things during their war with Legacy Coalition down in the south over Detrid and that sort of area. But as I understand it, Fraternity came up to HiSec and shot Legacy because, of course, they're fighting a war against each other. But in High Sec, Legacy and Horde are actually allies because they're both protecting the market and perimeter because the deal was signed such that they, like, share profits and all that jazz. So essentially what happens now is Horde and Fraternity both view each other's pilots as neutral. What we don't know is whether or not this is going to affect the bat phoning of Horde for timers down south. If I were to give my speculation, my prediction, it would be that it's not going to affect things. Horde will still get bat phoned, they'll still have access to jump gates, they'll still go down and get in on timers to help out Winter Coalition and the war down south. But we have yet to see a case of that happening, so there's no real way to know for sure. Other than
for
that,
more
like,
resetting. I don't see any strategic reason why those two should really be working together.
I mean, so Fraternity recently took some space up in, or were given some space. They have space now up in the drone regions for crabbing and for renters and things like that. So there is, like, the proximity between Fraternity and Winter Coalition and Horde has shrunk significantly, especially since Horde and the rest of PanFam has fully moved into the drone regions.
Mm-hmm.
So they are definitely neighbors now, and it's no longer sort of an us versus them on a political side of things. It's more of a, hey, you're next to us, and if you're not our friends, you're our enemies who can suddenly shoot us. I do want to, like, put a bit of a spotlight over on to Tribute and Veil of the Silent, because, like, everybody was sort of wondering what's going to happen up there after PanFam was kicked out and Goons went back home to deal with Drifters and then just sort of stayed home because blackout. And actually a bunch of, like, groups have just moved in. A bunch of smaller groups have moved in to Tribute and Veil and are just, like, camping gates, fighting each other, doing a little bit of crabbing. It's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. Whenever we get a tribute hole, it's usually pretty fun to do small gang nano rims through it. Vale's a little less active, but tribute's been pretty fun.
What's your favorite region to get a hole in, out of curiosity?
Depends on the mood I'm in, but realistically, Tenerifus is nice. Delve can be pretty fun at times, mostly because you go in knowing that you're going to be trying to escape a smart bombing Titan bomb or the super drop. Actually happened to us a few days ago, getting camped into a system there. But it, I don't know, the risk sort of makes it a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, I could get
as
that.
As odd as that sounds. It's hard to kill anything there, I will say that. Usually we just tackle stuff in there to try and get, you know, the subcap response initially and then try to fight that off. But, you know, sometimes they just drop the hammer. But then sometimes the guy's not on comms and doesn't have a sino fit, so he eats shit, so.
Do you find that your kills mostly come from just people being dumb?
I'd say it's about 50-50. Some of the response fleets or fights we get into, it a lot of times it is people just throwing a kitchen sink at the problem, which is never really a good idea. Sometimes some of the smaller renter groups around the test area will try to escalate internally without trying to bat phone test or something like that. And those are actually pretty interesting fights. I think we have some videos up of that, where we'll get a few carriers and dredge dropped on the Kikis, and we've come out ahead more often than not. But those are definitely really fun fights.
Awesome. Well, moving into host highlights, I don't have a fight to talk about this week because I've been a little busy at work. Most of my time in has actually been, ashamed to say it, I've been trying to mine because we had a 6-4 pop. I've been trying to harvest all the juicy moon goodness before it went away. So I have not been roaming around and fighting, although, well, this is a mini highlight. We found a really good system in Kaish that we're going to go up and probably roam for the next couple nights. I won't say what it is necessarily because I don't want to tip them off, but the guys up there fight pretty well, and I think if we bring some heavier ships than the frigates we were in, get some interesting skirmishes. So you're going to give that a shot over the course of the next couple days. But my highlight is actually a super secret project that I can't talk about right now, but we'll talk about next month. I think it's something that the fans of the show are going to really, really like.
Ooh. Sounds intriguing.
Exciting content, gentlemen. Exciting content.
My host highlight is I actually did have a fight and got a kill instead of crabbing or playing freaking PlayStation 4. So I'm a member of the Black Ops group, the Black Ops like subgroup, whatever, in freaking Horde. It's run by Sedio. And he just like we're deployed up to the branch Venal area. Tenal as well, I think is in range. And we just happened to find a Nyx that was ratting up there. And so we dropped on it, but we dropped on it in cloaky nudie ham legions, which is a doctrine that I really, 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 really love and wish was better than it actually is, because it looks great on paper. It's just so many nullsec doctrines and response fleets are kitey, and that doctrine just sucks at fighting kitey things. But in this case, the Nyx just dropped a couple of facts, which got neutered out and died, and then the Nyx died. And so it was fun.
Brilliant.
Very nice.
Yeah, I like the Ham Legion tons, but it is a very brawly dependent doctrine.
Yeah, we ran them for a while for hunting as well, and you're right. They're great if something is willing to sit on your face, but the minute a Munin fleet shows up, shit turns sideways really quickly.
Like, even a freaking Ferox fleet will roll legions.
Although, have you tried using jump destroyers and stuff like that?
They can't take a Black Ops bridge.
Yep.
That is the only issue.
No, I have one or two of them riding around normally. Like, hey, get over this system real quick.
Yeah, maybe. It's worth a thought.
Or get a Titan, you're in Pandemic Horde.
Yeah, but then you lose like half your range.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, Yonan, any highlights for you, sir?
So highlight would have been yesterday, actually. Scenario I just described with goons camping you into a dead-end system definitely happened. It was fun trying to skirt past 30 supers sitting on a gate with a couple of Hicks bubbling. Actually managed to do so in the Nurgle, which surprised the shit out of me.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How?
I lucked out and landed in a bubble probably only 15 from the gate before the other Hick got his drag bubble up, and was just able to crash and burn away on the other side before the fast tackle there was able to get me locked down.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty confident that was going to be the loss of the Nurgle.
As for shoutouts, I got a shout-out Lave, who could not be here today, but will be here on the next show, hopefully. A conversation with him pushed me to do something I'd been thinking about doing for a while, and once the ball got rolling, I was really happy that I did it. A lot of the reasons that I kept putting it off turned out to be not as big of a deal as I thought they were, so major props to him. He's a good friend.
Lave is a cool dude. My shout-out goes to Alec for making a thing, or being about to make a thing, called Singing in Stations. And
yes,
it is a thing I'm super excited for. Alec, you want to... What is Singing in Stations? Talk about it.
So, Twitch has put out a game called Twitch Sings. And it's not a big secret that there is a beta version of this that allows a singing
part. A singing what?
But you and six people can sing.
You cut out. What are you talking about?
Where did I cut out at?
You said there is a beta version of this that allows...
Oh, it allows a group of people to sing, not just the one person. Not all at the same time, obviously, but like you can rotate it around like you're all in a karaoke room. So,
nice.
Since I have beta access and can get beta access for anyone I want, and they're encouraging people in Twitch to do this, I was like, oh, You know, it would be really fun is if we got a whole bunch of Eve nerds together and sung some songs. So we're going to be doing that every week, Wednesday at 0300. And it should be a good time. You'll see me, you'll see a couple of people from Talking in Stations. We'll hopefully get a few Eve special guests from time to time. And we'll have fun. You can request songs, people can do their favorites. Should be a good time.
I'm excited. I mean, I'll be at work, but I'm excited to watch the recordings.
I'm somewhat terrified, because it's going to be the first time I've really done that format, and it'll be the first time in a long time I've done a live show, as opposed to just, like, streaming whatever I'm doing in Eve. So this will be fun. First couple episodes, I'll figure shit out.
I mean, you just gotta, it's like, it's karaoke, right? You're not doing a concert, it's freaking karaoke. Don't worry about it. Have a drink,
right?
Relax, and sing.
I mean, worst case scenario, it's terrible, and I'm sure people will enjoy that too. Hopefully it'll be funny in a bad way. Or funny in a good way, I should say. Bad in a good way. Bad in a funny way. It'll be some kind of way, Artemis, is what I'm saying.
It will just be.
Yonan, do you have any shout-outs?
Yep. So, shout-out to all the active Waffle Bros for being active and getting us to the top Ezekiel there, which was a pretty impressive feat, considering we were nearly dead about a year ago. And I'd say to CCP for the balls to make some of these changes that they've been making. I listened to Hilmar's talk on Talking in Stations about, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was... It felt like listening to a different dev team than what's been here for the last 3 years. So we'll see if they continue to push forward with some of these changes, but I want to give them a shout-out as well, because it's definitely been it's definitely made our corp a much better place to be in-game.
Awesome. And yeah, thank you to CCP as well, and I'm glad it seems to be at least so far so good and working out for them in terms of the metrics and KPIs that they care about. So hopefully we'll get more crazy shit happening in the future. Well, that's it, guys. Head to decorationsofwar.com to participate in our poll. Capitalist Army is recruiting. We can use a few more good pilots. Join Capitalist Chat in-game for more info. But wherever you are and whoever you fly with, good hunting, listeners.